And then the last misperception or misunderstanding is that grace is really for the godly people. They'll always preface it like, well, look, I know I'm not perfect. I mean, nobody's perfect. I know I'm not perfect. But let me talk about how not perfect they are. You know what I mean? Did I screw that up? And you can get Listen Up for only $14. So Matt's gone doing, you know, Matt things, which wild adventures.
Yeah. He's
always doing something important.
Always something.
Mm-hmm. Jet setter. But what I thought we'd do this week and next week is just have a couple of short conversations.
Yeah.
And I invited you. Why do I need anybody else? Like, you can just be here.
Yeah. I'll just be a sounding board and I can just...
It's better than me sitting here talking to
the wall.
The wall. Exactly. Well, I want to encourage people, make sure you subscribe and like the podcast wherever you listen to it, or even if it's on YouTube and you watch it. I think it's a great resource for in a lot of different ways. Just if you're going for a walk with a dog and you need a little encouraging, upbeat message, I think that's what I want to do this week and next week. I've really been fascinated lately, Jeff, about the concept of grace and truth. Thum, thum, thum.
Tell me more.
So when you think about, for example, when we think about, you know, as people of faith, those of us who are, you know, Christians and people who think about ourselves as followers of Christ, there's this one sort of foundational scripture in John chapter 1. It says that the Word became flesh. Jesus became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So this is where we kind of fall into this this discussion and conversation. And I want to start with grace, because one of the things that I have found is that the vast majority of people, but especially I would say Christians, really don't have an understanding of how radical and welcoming and powerfully amazing grace is. I don't think we understand grace. Mm. So let me ask you a question. Where do you experience grace in your day-to-day living?
Grace.
And let me define it for you so we can talk about what we're talking about here, okay? This is an undeserved favor. Someone does something for you that you do not deserve, you didn't earn, you really have no business having. Mm. This is grace. Undeserved favor. Where do you see that happen in your life day to day?
I mean,
do you have a dog?
I'm here at Chapelwood every day.
Do you have a dog?
I don't have a dog.
You don't have a dog? Some dogs are like that, but not all of them.
Some dogs extend grace. I mean, I see it here at Chapelwood. I see it in the people that I work with a lot of times, and I see it in my family. Outside of that, I guess friends, that's a lot of it, just the relationships.
Interesting for you. You come down on a lot with relationships. So mm-hmm. You happen to work at a church. If we're not showing grace here,
it's a problem.
we might have deeper issues we need to talk about. And in your relationships, but mm-hmm. I'm thinking like when you're just like moving out in the world and you go to the grocery store or you go to the gym, because sure. You're always buffing up at the gym.
I'm trying. Swole the Ghost Club. Yeah, I mean, that's really interesting. I guess I think of little interactions at, you know, Whole Foods or things like that with people that are unexpected.
So they gave you this for free?
No. Oh, but okay. The way that the lady treated me...
It was very graceful.
Was very graceful, okay. And it was like...
And she didn't have to do that.
And she didn't have to do it. I'm usually expecting people...
Because usually at Whole Foods, they're very pretentious.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I just expect like certain people to, I guess, interact in a certain way. So when someone doesn't, it kind of goes like, oh, wow. Okay, I didn't expect...
Unexpected, like Lanyap, a little something unexpected, mm-hmm. Something nice unexpected.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would argue that, so when I think about especially Christian people and we talk about the church, we talk about grace, when you look at the life and the ministry of Jesus, when you just look at how he lived his life, it was very grace-oriented and never condemns sinners. He doesn't. You can try to find it. You're not going to find it. He moves into the margins, moves into the places and the people that the rest of society, especially the religious society, religious leaders, have deemed all of these people are unclean. They're not good enough. They're not holy enough. They're not pure enough. So until you get your act together, you can't really be on the inside.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of Christians embody that more than they do the life and the teaching, the words and the ministries of Jesus.
Mm.
With this radical grace.
Right.
So he tells a story about a guy who goes out and recruits this group of people 9 o'clock in the morning to work in the field. Says, hey, if you come do it, I'll pay you a full day's wage. And then he goes back out at 11, and he goes back out at 1, and he goes back out at 3, and he goes back out at 5. And at the end of the day, he brings the people in that he hired at 5 that worked 1 hour, and he pays them a full day's wage. So the people at 9 are going, yeah, baby, we're going to get way more than we thought. But when he gets to them, he pays them a full day's wage, yeah. And they're mad at him.
Yeah.
And he's like, I didn't do anything wrong. I paid you exactly what I told you I was going to pay you.
Right.
I did exactly what I said I was going to do. I didn't wrong you. And if I want to pay the guy 1 hour, that is a very offensive parable that Jesus.
It reminds me of the loan forgiveness debate that's happening.
Hey, can you turn your notifications
Sorry about
on?
That.
The loan forgiveness, like student loans.
Student
okay.
loans. Because so many that. People have student loans or the people that have paid them off. And so if you've already paid off your student loans or you paid for school, and then the government goes, oh, we're actually forgiving all student loans now.
Yes. Okay, good.
And you've paid $1,000.
And you're ticked.
Yeah, I paid $100,000 on my student loans.
Where was that forgiveness when?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So because
that's
I
the
didn't get
that
it.
Comes to
no, that's actually really, and some people who don't even have student loans are just like, well, government's got no business doing that. Those
right.
people, they took that money out. They knew what they were signing up for. And you
yeah,
know.
It's an interesting debate.
I would argue that a lot of times when I talk with Christians and you're talking about a church that is inclusive of a broader group of people. And a lot of times people say, well, but yeah, there's these categories of people that got to get their life right first, you know, or they have to not sin first in
right.
order to get the grace. That's not how it works in the New Testament, by the way. It's not how it works with Jesus. But, you know, they're all like, Jesus said, go and sin no more, go and sin no more. But right before that, he says, I don't condemn you. And I see that as an invitation to be transformed by grace, not a command, a demand
right.
From Jesus. But one of the things I think it's interesting, or at least limiting for us, is we don't do grace well.
Right.
And we don't model it very well as Christians in churches. And I think one of the others is we have very little experience with grace in our daily living. So even though you work here at the church, as you said, and you experience a lot of grace, you get paid.
Correct.
A salary.
Correct.
Not just because we're graceful.
There's an exchange.
Yeah. Monetary compensation comes with you doing your job.
Right.
And a lot of people attach to the monetary compensation their worth, their identity. You know, I mean, the first thing, what do guys do? And then they get, you know, if you're meeting a bunch of guys or whatever, first thing, hey, what do you do?
What do you do?
What
yeah.
do you do? Because what you do is kind of your worth. And what if a guy says, oh, well, you know, I own a private equity fund and, you know, we invest all this money. And immediately you go, oh, private equity. This guy's smart and
yeah.
rich. And,
got some coin.
And if somebody else says, well, I'm in construction. Now, you know what that means. You dig a little deeper. But, you know, there are certain things that you make an evaluation on someone's worth.
Right.
Right. In the structure of society.
Mm-hmm.
Based on what they do.
Sure.
Right. The job they have. I think that's one of the things that's why it's hard is every day you're always in that mode. Like, we work hard. People put in the extra time and effort. They get feedback from it.
Mm.
So I'm thinking like baseball players now, spring training.
Right.
Guys trying to make the baseball team, they're going to put in more time, extra time.
Right.
Work harder. You, Swole Ghost Club, working out at the gym.
Summer's coming.
No pain, no gain.
Summer's coming, so this is my spring training.
This is your spring training. Getting ready for the...
Beach ready.
The Johnny O bathing suit look, right? Or are you more Italian Speedo?
More Italian vibes, yeah.
Italian Speedo, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think all of that is, and the biggest one is, you know, we look at people, whether something good or bad happens to them.
Mm.
And we say to ourselves, they didn't deserve that.
Mm.
Or they got what was coming to them.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
We do that.
Right.
It's the whole the Schadenfreude of our society. It's like when someone crashes and burns, you know, there's like a good number of people that would love to see Joe Biden crash and burn, and just as many would love to see Donald Trump crash and burn. And, you know, it's like this whole and then they would say, well, they got what was coming to them.
Mm-hmm.
They deserved it. Right. So all of this deserving, I think, really.
That's interesting.
Messes with our concept of really understanding grace. I think that hurts us as Christians. It hurts us as a church because I don't think we communicate grace like Jesus communicated grace. Hmm. And I think that's one of the reasons why a lot of people don't want to have anything to do with church,
right?
Or Christians.
Right.
Because they see, well, I've heard about this Jesus and I think that he loves everybody and but yet this church over here doesn't really act like they love everybody.
Mm.
Or welcomes everybody.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, I think that's a challenge for us, is how are we going to live and communicate grace? How are we going to model that in our lives when we live in a world that's built on merit and deserving and accolades? Because there are very few, if any, parts of our lives, day-to-day experience, built on grace or on mercy, where we receive more than we deserve, or even other than we deserve. Or where we're encouraged to offer others more than they deserve. So we just, not only is it not modeled for us, I don't know that we model it all the time.
Right.
And that's, I think it's a stumbling block for us because our concept of grace is modern. Christians are in the American church, I think, is not nearly as radical as the way Jesus taught grace works.
Right. It's just easier, I think, too, for us to conceptualize this idea of deserving and hard work equals, you know, this input equals this output, and it's controllable. And then grace is not controllable in that same way.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, it's like baking a cake. It's great. You put in so much flour, you put in so much sugar, you put in so much milk, put them in so much eggs.
Yep.
If you do it in the right combo, you get this beautiful chantilly cake.
See.
Which we don't know what that means yet because we haven't cut into it.
We're going to Google it.
But yeah, no, I think you're right. It's like there's a prescription for life and there are certain ingredients and those things all have to be in there. And the fact that you can just forgive someone or that you can just gracefully look the other way.
Mm.
I mean, it's foreign to people. Like someone, I was talking with someone recently and they were talking about how to have a conversation with a teenager who they suspected had stolen some money from his mother and how are we going about all that? And their whole attitude was like, well, he did wrong and he needs to pay the price. He needs to pay a price. He needs to know that you pay a price. Mm. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, he says he didn't do it. There's no like video evidence of this. And so how do you deal with this? I remember when I studied the Desert Fathers, which were these old monastics from the 3rd, 4th, 5th century, and they really believed that love was so powerful and so transformative that you should cover the sins of another in love. Now think about this. So let's say you did something really wrong. I came in and covered it up, hid it. So that no one would find out, no one would know. In our society, we would see that as like, oh, that's horrible. You know, you can't do that.
Yeah.
That's just, they got to pay a price. They did wrong. That's the way a lot of us think.
Right.
But there's this element of that, can love be so powerful to cover up someone else's sin and lead them to, lead them to be so transformed by that radical, undeserved, graceful love that they would go, wow, I need to do better.
Mm.
I need to respond to that in some way.
Right.
That's what Jesus did. That's how Jesus worked. And not everyone responded as they should. That's just human nature. But some did. And that's how I think where we are. So I would just end with this. You know, God's action toward us in our lives is clearly an expression of grace. And I would say it is the essential character of God. Grace is the essential character of God. And when you read in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul reminds us, probably mentions it three or four times, about God's grace. Grace speaks not only to the undeserved favor that God lavishes upon us, but also to God's initiative in drawing us into the heart of God. And so, yes, it's the grace, undeserved favor, but it's always God's initiative. And this is the other thing that's hard for us to understand, is God's not just showing all this undeserved favor. God's going out and finding the people in the margins to shower that favor upon. And so when we get resentful, that certain grace, then we become the older brother in the story of the prodigal son. You know, he's standing outside and he's mad. And he's removing himself from the story.
Right.
And I think that's what some of us Christians do when we have that attitude. We're not being kept out of the party. We're staying out of the party.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're not sure we like that much grace.
Right.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it's something we have to wrestle with. I think it's something that Christians have to really struggle with and work on, because grace, we know what it is, but I'm not really sure we know what it means, or we put it into practice in our lives or
right.
experience it that much.
Absolutely.
So that's kind of my thought on grace.
It's a good word.
Well, you know, it's so funny because we've been doing this sermon series called Rooted in Love, Rooted in Grace, Rooted in Mercy, for, you know, Rooted in Truth, Rooted in Power. It's the Lenten sermon series. And I remember, you know, Michael Schiaretti preached one week about just first you've got to come to this place where you say to yourself, God loves me as I am.
Right.
No matter what. And people are like, well, hold on a second. What do you mean as I am? Because, you know, you're a sinner and you got to get your love. See, that's the part that I think we're really confused about. You have to start, and you have to remember the Bible doesn't start in Genesis 3. There's a Genesis 1 and 2, and we don't start there. That's why so many people get sideways. They get mad at their church, because if you start talking about accepting sinners and tax collectors, you know, I know Jesus did that.
Right.
But we have to draw a line in the sand somewhere.
Right. Yeah. Getting caught up in all the weeds of that stuff, I think, really, you lose sight of what the main thing is, and I think it is.
Well, because, you know, there's some, one real quick before we go, it's like, yeah. There's these misperceptions, right, about that, like, people, when you start talking about the radical grace, then people are like, well, you're giving people permission to sin. No, I'm not. That's not at all what that's
right.
Not at all what that means. You know, what was the old saying? It's like, I'm really good at sinning and God's really good at forgiving. So why don't we just both do like what we're really good at and kind of, but Paul talks about this in the Bible. He says, you know, wherever there's sin, grace abounds the more, but it doesn't mean you sin more to get more grace.
Right.
It's, you know, holiness is not a prerequisite for grace. And that's another thing that people don't understand. It is a product that comes out of grace. It's the response that comes out of grace. Other people say, well, man, you focus too much on grace and you're letting up on the standards of God. You know, you got to draw a line in the sand. This is a slippery slope, John. You know, it's a slippery slope. And I've had people over and over and over and over again about whatever it is. And it's changed through 30 years of whatever the slippery slope is.
Right.
You know, the Baptists say slippery slope is ordaining women to be pastors.
Right.
That's slippery slope, man. You know, next thing you do, you're marrying animals. I mean, you know what I mean? It's like, at some point, we're going to get to the worst, the worst end of this thing, because that's just the way it works.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't work that way. And I will say that the fulfillment of grace, if you see like the Old Testament, some people live like all in the Old Testament and they don't have any New Testament in them, but the law is not thrown away. The law is just fulfilled.
Right.
and it's fulfilled in love. And that's just what people think. And this is goes back to your thing when you're talking about the forgiving of student loans. Grace, man, you talk so much about that grace. Well, why should anybody do anything? What that it opposes effort. Why would I ever work hard? Mm-hmm. Why would I ever do if I'm gonna get everything for free? Well, I'm not saying you're gonna get everything for free. I'm saying you're gonna get grace for free. Mm. Grace is not opposed to effort, though. I love this quote. Grace is opposed to earning. Does that make sense what the difference is?
Yeah.
So we're supposed to work hard. We're supposed to do well. But we can't think that, that what we do or what we're worth is earns us something
right.
better than someone else.
Right.
And then the last misperception or misunderstanding is that grace is really for the godly people. The holy people. And here's what's funny about this is people will not explicitly ever say that to me, but they believe it. They'll always preface it like, well, look, I know I'm not perfect. I mean, nobody's perfect. I know I'm not perfect, but let me talk about how not perfect they are. You know what I mean? I love this quote too. This results from the simple misconception that God loves good people rather than God. God's love makes people good. Mm. God's grace invites people to be transformed, to become good. And that should come as good news for all of us. Grace is actually for everyone, the ungodly and the godly. But it transforms ungodly people into godly people. Hmm. And what I think ultimately, as I said, and we'll kind of bookend it here, what really is problematic, at least for me, is that people are so much into, no, those folks are not welcome here. You have to tell them that they've got to get these parts of their lives. They have to acknowledge their sin. They have to recognize their sin. Hmm. They have to actually repent of their sin before what? Before they can be members of the church, before they can be saved, before they can... Wait. Because every one of us has unacknowledged, unrepentant sin in our lives.
Right.
I mean, we just do.
Right.
And when we say we don't, well, there's the big clue, probably. But some people think they don't.
A story of grace that we're going to be playing in service, not this Sunday, but next, there's a family who experienced a really traumatic thing with their kids where all three of their daughters ended up in the hospital. Mm. And this was before they were even members of the church. So talk about extending grace beyond membership of Chapelwood. But I think it was Andrew Wolf went and visited them in the hospital. So we get to hear from these parents, this husband and wife, that talk about, you know, this unexpected kind of crazy thing happening and them not knowing what to do next. And then the community of Chapelwood rallying around them and extending grace where they didn't expect it. They're not even members of the church yet. They became members because of the grace that they felt through that experience. So I think it's a cool story.
Yeah. So they're, response was from this undeserved favor.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't deserve it. They didn't know the people. They didn't earn it. People just showed up.
Yeah.
Super that's cool. an example of grace at work and how
awesome.
Works. Yeah. Well, next week we're going to continue this conversation. We're going to talk about truth and we're going to talk about lying and we're going to talk about BS, which I can't say. If you need in the show notes to put it in there, or I don't know how to explain this.
I'll link it out somehow.
But we'll figure it out. So if you want to know the difference between truth and lying and BS, then next week is yours.
And we're going to reveal what a Chantilly cake is on
next week. Yes, we will reveal next week the Chantilly cake. All right. Well, I'm John Stevens.
I'm Jeff Wood.
And this is Pod Have Mercy.